Has any member failed a vote? Would the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
36 yeas, 3 nays.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 83, Resources, has passed the House. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the roll call vote on final passage of Resource Committee substitute for Senate Bill 83 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Are there any objections as to the adoption of the effective date clause? Representative Szymanski.
Thank you. Probably just beating the other member. I'd like to serve notice reconsideration Senate Bill 83 at this time.
Representative Szymanski, we have an effective date clause ruling pending. Would you be so kind as to withdraw your motion?
Yes, I withdraw my motion at this time.
Are there any objections to the adoption of the effective date clause? Hearing no objection, the clause has been adopted. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, there are two letters of intent prepared by the Senate. They appear on pages 483 and 903 of the Senate Journal. I move that both Senate letters of intent be approved.
Are there any objections to the approval of both letters of intent from Labor and of Resources and Finance? Hearing no objection, the two letters of intent by the Senate have been adopted. Representative Szymanski. Notice of reconsideration has been given on committee substitute for Senate Bill 83, Resources. Representative Davis.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Can we have a brief at ease?
Would the House please stand at ease? Will the House please come back to order? We have no citations before us, so we have completed the daily calendar. This brings us to unfinished business. Do we have any unfinished business to come before this body? Representative Maru.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous approval in being allowed to withdraw House Bill 175.
Would you read the title of that, please, Representative? 175.
175. Stand by.
Are there any further announcements to be made under unfinished business? Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's really not unfinished business, but I see you stepped out the back door. Here he comes. One of our pages had a birthday today. Byron Larson is 21 years old today.
Representative Maru.
Mr. Speaker, the title of House Bill 175 is, quote, an act relating to rural housing loans and providing for an effective date, unquote.
Are there any objections by this body of having that bill removed or withdrawn? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Any further announcements or unfinished business, excuse me. Representative Adams, under announcements.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Under announcements, tomorrow in House Finance, we will be hearing House Bill number 195, making, amending, transferring, and repealing operating and capital appropriations, just on our desk. Also, we'll hear Senate Bill 147 relating to state support of education, pending receipt of that from this other body. We'll also hear House Bill 193, established an agricultural product incentive program. And also, we'll hear tomorrow House Bill 383, recoupment conveyance of land for Illinois Creek and instead of Friday. And with that, may I have a brief at ease?
The House, please stand at ease. Would the House come back to order? We are under announcements of standing committees and special committees. Do we have any further announcements? Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Labor and Commerce Committee will be meeting at 1:15 today to take up Senate Bill 254.
Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In addition to the items on the calendar today, the Hess Committee will continue several bills held over from yesterday. Committee substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution 13 relating to the Infant Learning Program. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 208 relating to the federal transfer of certain schools. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 109 adding chiropractors to the Medicaid program. That's at 4:30 today in the Hess.
Any further committee announcements? General announcements. This brings us to special orders. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I request the privilege of the floor to speak on adjournment.
Are there any objections? Proceed, Representative.
Mr. Speaker, at 9:30 this morning, the governor had a press conference and announced that he intended to call a special session of the Alaska legislature if it became necessary regarding the issue of public employee pay raises, the resolution of the longevity bonus, the size of the capital budget, and possibly the question of subsistence. Mr. Speaker, the statement by the governor was firm with regard to those issues and with regard to the desire to call a special session. He went on, Mr. Speaker, to list other issues that he felt were necessary to resolve this year, and I'll just list them briefly for you. They are, of course, the ones that he's indicated he'll call a special session on, plus, Mr. Speaker, the question of depositing of funds into the permanent fund, either through House Bill 71, legislation approved by the governor, or House Bill 28, both of which have been passed by this body. He also lists, of course, House Bill 288 on subsistence, and the longevity bonus legislation, the pay raises, as I've indicated, which appear in the budget that this body has passed. In addition, Mr. Speaker, he mentioned the child protection package that many people have felt very strongly about this year, particularly House Bill 92 on child support enforcement and House Bill 88 on child abuse legislation, both of which have passed this body. In addition, the governor mentioned teachers' collective bargaining, House Bill 130, legislation which has passed this body, and local hire and public instruction, House Bills 294 and House Bill 295, which have passed this body. Mr. Speaker, every item on the list provided by the governor to the press this morning has passed this body. Through the cooperation of the majority and the minority members of the House of Representatives, we believe that the House has essentially come close to completing its business for this session of the Alaska Legislature. We wish to thank the governor for recognizing the work that the House of Representatives has done. It has done the work within 120 days, and again, it has done the work with a very constructive cooperation of the minority in the House. Mr. Speaker, as you well know, we are engaged in negotiations with the other body to try to get this session adjourned as quickly as possible and to resolve all the necessary issues. And I'd like to just give you an idea of where the House Majority Caucus stands right now on several key issues. It's obviously always dangerous, Mr. Speaker, to try to speak for 28 people, 28 individuals on this floor, but I think that you will find that the members of the House Majority Caucus are committed to the following four principles. First, that our highest priority has been and continues to be to restore the people's trust in the legislature as a rational decision-making body, to restore the credibility of the legislature in the people's eyes, and I believe we have done that this year. Secondly, we have accomplished that purpose, and we have accomplished most of the other goals that we set for ourselves at the beginning of this session. We believe that we have come close to completing the necessary work for this session. That's point two. Point three, we support the collective bargaining process for public employees, and we oppose an abrupt termination of legislative support for that process this year. And fourth, Mr. Speaker, we will not vote for an extension of the 120-day session.
Representative Martin.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate the optimism of our majority leader and the majority caucus, and I do agree that I think we've had real, real good relationships, and a special thanks to you in that department so that we don't have unnecessary emotionalisms and gossip going around. And I thank you very much for your leadership. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to ask specifically for permission to talk on privilege of the floor on oil prices and the state budget.
Are there any objections? Proceed, Representative.
Thank you very much, sir. Mr. Speaker, when we passed the budget, House Bill 60, the major phrase that was coming around and accepted by the people and the press, by our very good leader in the Finance Committee, was a transitional period. But, Mr. Speaker, I have to say I look at that transition in a different way than perhaps that the majority caucus has been doing. It looks to me like it's been a transition from one pocket to the other of monies that are available. And eventually, these pockets are going to run out of money. Now, notice that the majority leader said today that the governor has the priority on other things, and he's pleased with what the majority has done. But one thing that was left out was the state operating budget. And the state operation budget is the one that really concerns me. I pulled out a letter, Mr. Speaker, that you wrote about January the 17th this morning, and you made it very clear that the state operation has got to be gotten a handle on. We've got to decrease state expenditures. And right now we are definitely over the 1985 authorized and adjusted base, which is usually more. And I see more bills coming along that is going to cause us, not the minority, I think we got our mind made up that we've got to stop the ever-expansion of government. We have 120 people, new employees this year, coming online with what has already been passed through. And somewhere along the line, you've got to stop if you really mean that we are going to seriously consider decreasing unnecessary expenditures. And, Mr. Speaker, the majority leader said that there is a possibility because of what the governor said on a special session. And I very much believe there may be a special session. We may find ourselves this summer into the same turmoil that Oregon and Washington and California, Wyoming, many states in the last 2 years have had to meet in special session because the revenues expected were decreased. And Oregon especially, in one summer, they had to meet three times in reducing the operating budget because the revenues were not there. The reason I bring that out, Mr. Speaker, yesterday on the news, we found out that the West Texas oil had gone down now another 10 cents a barrel. And in the last 2 months, West Texas crude has gone down almost $2 a barrel. And that directly relates to our cost of oil and the wellhead value thereof. So currently, we have $27.19 as the going price for West Texas oil. Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen, the reason I think that we're going to end up with this special session is because we should not take too lightly what is happening in the world oil market today. Just 2 days ago, the Soviet Union announced very clearly that they are going to flood the spot market. They are desperate, they want money, and they know the best way to do it is flood the spot market. And, of course, that is the real key to how our oil prices on the North Slope go. Secondly, Britain and Norway have announced after the fact, it was found out by the market last week when it suddenly dropped down 43 cents a barrel in 1 day, that England and Norway has consummated some new contracts with East Coast communities, long-range contracts. So therefore, those particular contracts were probably OPEC nations have to find new markets also. From the experts, as of last night, it looks like by July that the nation is going to really see a decrease in crude oil nationwide. And that's the reason why I say, sir, that we may find ourselves in a special session. I'd like to pass over to the Finance Committee Chair, and I hope it don't go over like a lead balloon, but it may be worthy of consideration to let everyone know in the conference committee, perhaps we should freeze state expenditures at 90%. I'll compromise and say 95 if they want to do that. But I think to be reasonable and rational, that perhaps we ought to do what we've done in the past, call freemanizing state appropriations. And this may be a real good year to do that, to make them responsible, so that at the end of next year, we will have everything intact and we know what they were able to operate on. Truly, we do not have enough money today to continue the operating budget that has escalated and the capital budget and the loans. Thank you, sir.
Representative Pierce.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like the privilege of the floor to talk about oil exports, please.
Are there any objections? Proceed, Representative.
Mr. Speaker, The pages have passed out a copy of a news release and also a letter which my staff has prepared for me. The Prime Minister of Japan has spoken to President Reagan in our behalf. He has asked the President to end the ban on the sale of Alaskan oil. And I think we should all be very glad that he has done so. Because of that, I prepared the letter to send to the Prime Minister. However, I think it would be right and proper if we each were signers on this letter. My staff is preparing a second letter, and I would urge all of you to join with me in signing the letter to the Prime Minister, thanking him for his help in this very important issue. We will be circulating that letter this afternoon. Thank you.
Were you seeking the floor, Bill? Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request permission of the floor to speak on adjournment.
Are there any objections? Proceed, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate the comments of the Majority Leader today concerning the status of the session. Mr. Speaker, the Majority Leader has spoke of a number of pieces of legislation that are considered key to this body. And out of that list, Mr. Speaker, I've identified perhaps two that are maybe crucial and need some additional attention perhaps in the other body. That would be House Bill 288 having to do with subsistence and perhaps legislation having to do with the pay raise. Mr. Speaker, the Majority Leader has listed other legislation. For instance, child protection, HB 130, the collective bargaining bill, and the $500 million deposit to the permanent fund. Whereas I believe that these pieces of legislation are important, I do not believe that they are so important that we, as one body of the legislature, should encourage the executive branch to interfere or attempt to dictate the pace of the session, nor interfere with the deliberation of the other body in legislation that is important. I think we could make a terrible mistake, Mr. Speaker. If we're not careful, we may have a tendency of casting our feet in concrete. I must advise here that the successful completion of this session is still dependent upon a great deal of cooperation and coordination between the other body. And by enhancing the governor's, enhancing the administration or the executive branch opinion that certain actions should be taken, I think we ought to stay out of that fight. I think the other body is well able to take care of itself, and I would not like to see this body getting to a three-way fight. We've seen this happen time and time again at the end of the session, and I think we have had a reasonable, harmonious relationship to this point. I'm convinced that we will be out of here by the 120th day. I'm not convinced there is a need for a special session. As you well know, I don't support 288. I do support the pay raise, and I think that should be honored. But I believe that there is the honor among legislative leaders to resolve those questions. And again, Mr. Speaker, just closing, I don't wish that we get into a battle with the executive branch. And if so, if that branch decides to enter into some type of adversary relationship, I would strongly suggest that this body stay out of that fight and give the other body the courtesy that it deserves and permit it to conduct its own business at its own pace. It is a responsible body, and we should honor that. Thank you.
Any further special orders? Representative Pettyjohn.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request the privilege of the floor to discuss adjournment.
Are there any objections? Proceed, Representative.
I concur in much of what the Majority Leader had to say, at least when he first started. One of the reasons I feel that we have restored some element of credibility in the legislature is not only because the cooperation that's taken place within this House, but I think also there's been a certain amount of respect and cooperation between this House and the other body, and I'd echo to that extent the representative from East Anchorage's remarks. I don't think we need to get in a fight with anybody. In regards to the governor's press conference and his threat of a special session, for those of you who were not here in 1983, I recall very specifically that the governor said, if you don't do X, Y, and Z, you're going to come back in a special session. X, Y, and Z were not done, and we did not come back for a special session. So I think we should bear that in mind when we're considering the remarks that he made. And I question also in my own mind, Mr. Speaker, if he really wants us back. But if he does... I'll be happy to come back, and I will be glad to continue my work here in Juneau. Thank you, Mr. Guzman.
Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. At this time, I'd like to bring up reconsideration of committee substitute for House Bill 161, Finance.
It's been brought to our attention that committee substitute for House Bill 161, Finance, is before us for reconsideration. Would the clerk please read that bill?
Committee substitute for House Bill 161, Finance, amended by the Finance Committee. An act relating to the interest rate, loan conditions, and repayment provisions of scholarship loans and providing for an effective date.
Representative Clarkson. You yield the floor, Representative Clarkson. Representative Hanley, proceed.
Mr. Speaker, I would move and ask unanimous consent that we be allowed to return to second reading for purposes of a specific amendment.
Mr. Speaker, I call the House.
Okay, the House has been called. Would the clerk at that time, or this time, please read that amendment?
Amendment number 6 by Hanley. Page 1, line 17. Delete 6, insert 8.
Remember, the debate is basically centered around the movement back to second reading with some latitude, Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I recognize that we had considerable debate on this particular issue yesterday. Since that time, however, I have received phone calls and some concerns have been expressed by students who are still concerned about triggering the repayment of the loan in a six-month period. Even an eight-month period would preclude having that loan triggered for the purposes of taking off a semester. Should it be for commercial fishing? Should it be in the fall helping with a campaign? A six-month period does not allow a student to stop schooling for one semester without having the loan payment repayment schedule kick in. I think this is the concern that I've had expressed to me by college students, and I agreed that perhaps we could look at this one more time. If we could get back to second reading, it would be my intent to address this with the new amendment.
Representative Szymanski.
I lift the call and call question.
Okay, the call has been lifted. The call has been placed back upon the House.
Mr. Speaker, the prime sponsor is absent, and I just thought he should have that courtesy.
The call has been placed on the House. Representative Navarre, we understand your concern. The call has been lifted. Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, I'm going to place the call for good so we have all the members vote.
The call has been placed for good until adjournment. Is that until adjournment? Okay, the call has been placed upon this.
Point of information is that a 120-day call.
Do we have any further debate on the motion to move back to second reading for the purposes of a specific amendment? Representative Pignalberry. Would the House please stand at ease? Will the House please come back to order? Who are we missing? I've just been informed that the call has not been satisfied. Is there any further debate upon this amendment or the motion? Representative Miller.
Millions of dollars of revenue. Further, Mr. Speaker, even ignoring the monetary thing, which is kind of tough to do in years like this, further ignoring that, it's just the question of rightness. Why should a person who has a loan not start repaying it 6 months afterwards? I mean, I'm sure there may be an exception here or there, but why should a person who's graduated from college not have a job and start repaying his or her loans? I mean, most of us went to work sooner than 6 months after we graduated from college. Why? I think it's being very generous to delay the thing 6 months. Members said yesterday, somebody did,
We don't do that for hardly any other loan. I can't think of any that the state has, and I certainly can't think of any that the banks or the credit agencies or anything like that offer. Sometimes at Christmas they say we won't start payments until January or something like that, but that's about the closest you could come to it. I don't know why anybody should be entitled to wait more than 6 months. I think that's being very generous. And the state cannot afford over the situation any longer. It's cost to extend it beyond 6 months will cost us millions and millions of dollars. Now people say, well, maybe they might want to get a job fishing, lay off the college for one semester or two semesters and fish. Fine, let them. And if they're making money fishing, why shouldn't they start repaying their loans after 6 months? And then as soon as they stop fishing and go back to college, the whole process stops. And then again, they're not having to pay. But if they've stopped to fish or whatever job they might have, including working for one of somebody's campaigns, after 6 months, why shouldn't they start paying their loan back? I just don't understand this effort to nibble and nibble and nibble away at this thing and lose a few million dollars in the process. As one of the representatives from Anchorage said yesterday, you know, a million here, a million there, and pretty soon you're talking about real money.
The call has been satisfied. Representative Pignalberry.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, I was going to ask for this bill to be held over an additional day, but because of the need to move it through both houses, I decided not to. Yesterday, I asked, and I talked to the prime sponsor about this, and in deference to his wish, I would not delay this another day. But I do want to tell the body that I voted yesterday based on a misinterpretation of some information. We talked about the numbers, the amount of dollars that would be in the program at the end of 5 years or 10 years or any period of time if this repayment period was delayed or shortened to 6 months versus the year. And as I thought about it after session, it occurred to me that, look, the principal amount doesn't change. So we start making the payments 6 months earlier. That is not going to amount to an additional $20 million to the state at the end of 5 years. And as a matter of fact, this is the clincher that made me call Dr. Romsberg. When you shorten the period of time for which a loan is outstanding, the amount of interest you're going to collect is obviously less. I'm slow. It took me a while for that to dawn on me. So I'm wondering, how in the world are we really getting more money into the program? And it's misleading to say, and I know it's unintentional, and it's just we have different ways of saying things, and it means different things to different people. But all we're talking about, really, is the amount of interest income that would, in fact, be less to the state because we're shortening the loan period. And if at the end of 5 years you say there's $20 million that would be in the program if you shorten this, where it wouldn't be in there if we kept it the way it is, just look to the next time period when the loan is due, and there's that $20 million sitting there. It just depends on what block of time you want to look at it for. We're not going to reduce the amount of principal payments, and in fact, we are going to reduce the amount of interest income to the state from the program. So I'm not saying that anybody is misled. It was a misinterpretation on my part. I made up a spreadsheet yesterday and sent it over to Dr. Romsberg that I broke out the interest payment and the principal payment for each year, the number of loans outstanding, and the total balance, so that we could actually see in each year what the breakdown between principal and interest is. In the status quo, and with the six or nine-month delay, I forgot which one I gave them, or shortening it, but we would then be able to see exactly what the impact is of this amendment. And unfortunately, he was not able to complete that work by today. It is my plan, or it was my plan, to simply get that when it comes in and give it to members of the Senate for their consideration over there. But I just wanted to bring that to the attention of the members, because I think some of us were under the impression that this was a $20 million issue we were talking about, and it really is not.
Representative Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wasn't going to speak on this today, but I guess I will just for a minute. I take issue with the representative from Anchorage on his figures, and the fact of the matter is that when you speed up the repayment, as I explained yesterday, you bring the money back into the state faster. I explained yesterday that at a certain point in the year fiscal year 1997, that levels off and it starts declining. But you are bringing the money back quicker, so for the next 10, 11, or 12 fiscal years, whatever it is here, 12 fiscal years, you are increasing the amount of money that the state's going to be receiving on payments because you're making them pay quicker. In 10 years, let me just give you the figures, and this was done by Mr. Romsberg. He has not refuted these figures. It was done for the subcommittee. In 10 years, if all you do is increase the interest to 8%, and delay the payment of delayed 8%, which means it's you pay at a 5% rate for the first 3 years and 8% for the next, at a higher rate for the next 7 years. It's an 8% loan, but you delay the payment on the 8% for the first 3 years. The amount of money that would bring in within 10 years is $13 million. If you do that in combination with a 6-month grace period, it's $93 million. You have brought $80 million back in quicker in 10 years than you would if you take the grace period off. You repay quicker. Everybody starts repaying quicker, which means we get our money back faster. Yeah, you're right. If you don't do that, somewhere down the road, 30 years from now, you're going to get all that money, but you're getting it a whole lot quicker, and I believe that's the real reason to do this, is get the money back faster so that you can continue to fund a program at a adequate level. Never meant to mislead anybody. The charts are here. The graphs are here. Mr. Romsberg has not refuted those. He did those himself, and he did them for us 4 or 5 times. There were 2 other members of that subcommittee, and we had him doing charts and graphs that continuously, and asked him to recheck them. The bottom line is it brings the money back quicker.
Representative Penny-Albury.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to repeat that I certainly do not mean to imply or communicate in any way that there was an intention to mislead from either of the representatives from Juneau or their children, for that matter. But it seems to me there's one piece of information that's missing in the calculations that were given to us yesterday. And if, in fact, I think it's correctly stated, you're going to bring that money back to the state, that $93 million over 10 years or whatever the number was, you're going to bring it back quicker. Well, then what we need to know is what is the present value of that $93 million in today's dollar? What's it really worth? That's the cost of this amendment. Well, it's not the cost of this amendment because we're only dealing with here in the amendment that we're considering to go back for. We are only considering reducing the period of time from 1 year to, or rather, 6 months to 8 months before they have to pay it back. So the cost is much less than the numbers we've been talking about, but it's the present value analysis of bringing the money through the door quicker that we have to have. We don't have that number yet. That's not been mentioned at any time on this floor, and it's something that if we get the schedules that that I asked for yesterday, it would be an easy calculation for us to do.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Jenkins.
Mr. Speaker, I'm not concerned on this. I'm less concerned on this bill of those people who utilize this program to get a degree, because they do need to repay this loan, and the loans are going to come due. But I am concerned about the person who does take a semester off, and that leads them to start their loan. I want the ability for them to do that, because I think there's an additional hidden cost, and that's the startup and close down cost to the state of Alaska when we kick in this loan repayment. And I think that's another factor in this vote.
Representative Hurley.
Mr. Speaker, a representative from Juneau commented regarding young people going fishing to make more money, and if they're making that money, they could certainly pay off their loan. Most young people who take time off from school are working so that they can save money to pay their own way, so they do not have to borrow more money from the state. And I think it's very sad that we are asking the young people of our state to help save money when this body could save several, at least $1.4 million if we repeal the pay raise.
Are you ready for the question?
The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 161, Finance Amended, be returned to second reading for the purposes of a specific amendment? Members may proceed to vote.
Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? The clerk may tally the board.
22 yeas, 17 nays.
The bill is before us in second reading. Representative Hanley.
Mr. Speaker, I move the amendment.
Representative Duncan.
May we have an ease, please?
Would the House please stand at ease? Will the House come back to order? We have before us amendment number 6. It has been moved by Representative Hanley. Is there any debate on amendment number 6? Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I hate to add another dimension on to this. And if I may be given just a brief leeway, please. We did hear yesterday that only about one out of every six students qualify for the forgiveness clause. So what I'm wondering here is that if we have five out of every six students that do not qualify for the forgiveness clause, either because they remain outside after they complete their education or if they don't complete their education. Now, for all of these, when do they start making the repayments? At the time they quit school? At the time they move outside for another job? Can anyone give me that answer? Because I think it's important. We had 2 days of debate here for the good students who have completed their course and whether they should repay within 6 months or a year. And what about those who have quit school? When do they start paying it back?
Representative Binkley.
Yes, for the representative from Mat-Su, or from Palmer, excuse me, the same criteria applies for anybody who, whether they quit school or whether they complete their education, they have to start then at the 6 months.
Representative Larson.
Thank you. I wanted to get that information out. 6 months for anyone who made a promise, got a loan, didn't follow through with it, quit school, 6 months is enough time to get them starting to pay it back.
Question. Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall amendment number 6 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
18 yeas, 21 nays.
Amendment number 6 has failed adoption. We are back in third reading. Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 161, Finance Amended, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Representative Furness.
Mr. Speaker, I've got. Oh, I'm sorry. I want to change from yea to nay.
Yea to nay. Does any other member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
31 yeas, 8 nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill 161, Finance Amended, has passed the House on reconsideration. Representative Flux.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the roll call vote on final passage of Committee Substitute House Bill 161, Finance, as amended by the House, be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Are there any objections as to the adoption of the effective date clause? Hearing no objection, the effective date clause has been adopted. We're back to special orders. Representative Ringstead.
Speaker, may I have the privilege for a talk about being brief?
Any objections?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
How about debriefed? Representative Davis.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to speak on the topic of export of oil.
Are there any objections? Proceed, Representative.
Thank you. I'd like to applaud the efforts of Representative Pierce, and I certainly intend to sign her letter to the Prime Minister. Yesterday afternoon, I received some information from Mark Widow. Maybe I should wait for people to leave first, right? But anyway, there's some new developments on the export of oil from the Cook Inlet. The Maritime Ministry has chosen to oppose the ban on chosen to oppose the state's effort to export that oil, and so it's not over yet, and it's going to take some continued effort by this body. Thank you.
Any further special orders? Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent to House standing adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow.
Any objections?
Done.